This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you. So, spiritual formation is a process of experiencing the presence of God. It isn't a program that anyone can dictate. It's not something that can be forced or foisted. It's something that God gives to us as a desire and a glimpse of his presence, which is another opportunity, another blessing that he's revealing, that he wants to reveal more of himself to us. And so if in this these first couple of months in this series, you've sensed, well, I do want to grow a little bit deeper in my faith. I do want to mature as God's person in order that I might serve a hurting world. That's a glimpse of grace. That's a glimpse of the presence of God, that he is revealing himself to you, that you longing less and less for the things of this world and more for his presence and his people and his power. And we're considering that God is revealing himself to us in a wonderful and beautiful way in the midst of all the things that we have going on in life. This isn't something that's for special seminary-trained people or for monks who depart or only for missionaries who leave the U.S. It's for every single Christian has access through the Holy Spirit because of the grace of the Son to the presence of God the Father. Every single one of us has that blessing and joy, the opportunity to learn and grow. And so we're attempting to focus on these disciplines that help us to be formed not into the image of the world, but in the image of God's Son. So meditation this month, as we've been looking at in the month of February, Christian meditation is not an emptying of ourselves, but rather it's a filling of ourselves as we meditate on something, the objective truth of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We meditate on God's word, works, and way to understand more about who he is. But it takes some discipline, doesn't it? If you've tried to do it in this last month. It takes a purposeful setting aside time and place to reflect and to think about God. Maybe you've tried this and you're like, well, I have emails to respond to. I have chores to do. I have things that are pressing in on my life. And it's a discipline, but it bears fruit. I was talking with someone this week about the opportunity they had to specifically, purposefully meditate. And this person said, I just began to think about God, and I sat in quiet. In the book that we're reading, Celebration of Discipline, he encourages us to put our hands down or our hands up as a literal posture to receive. And this person was meditating with their hands down. The person said, I just began to weep. Because I was realizing that all of the stress that I had in life and all of the concerns that were pressing in on me, I needed to trust that God was sovereign, that God was good. They said it brought tears to my eyes, the gratitude that God would meet me. What a blessing. Don't we want more of that kind of experience, more of the presence of God in our lives. And so through biblical meditation, we've talked about how we might have ideas or ways of thinking that are inconsistent with the Word of God. And we need to examine those ways of thinking and surrender them to the Lord by meditating on who he is. We also talked about how our emotional life, the feelings that we have, the anger that we can feel, or the bitterness, or the hurt, or even the happiness that we can feel. Those things are ways, those feelings are ways that God wants to get in touch with us and to communicate a need that we have or something that's missing. And so when we pay attention to those emotions through meditation, God can change our hearts and he can make us more like him. Then we can use those emotions to say, well, what is it that I'm angry about? How does God want to speak to me in this moment in my life? So that's what we're doing through meditation. But this last message on meditation, I wanted for us to think about a way that we can be meditating all the time. And as you can tell with Mr. Russell's message and some of the songs we've done that we've never done before, we're wanting to talk about how do we put God's word in our heart. We meditate on the word, we memorize the word of God, and that allows us to think about God's word all the time. So this morning's message is on memorizing scripture. And so we're going to turn to Psalm 119 and verses 9 through 12. I invite you, if you're able, to stand for the reading of God's word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for your grace. I pray that even as we reflect on your word, that it would be implanted even more deeply into our hearts so we might receive from it, we might listen to it, and we would be called to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had a conversation out in the foyer this morning about fences because one person was talking to another person about fences, and I now am an expert on fences because I'm in the process of putting up a fence in my own yard. And I realize I have a lot to learn about fence putting up. I didn't know anything about it. So Levi and I, a few weeks ago, it's taken me a few weeks, yes, I'll admit it. He got out there with his gloves that he had in Honduras, and he got hammers, and we demoed the old fence. And that seems like an easy thing to do and a fun thing to do, just smash a fence down. But when it's got ivy all around it, and then you got to pull that out, and I realized, call 811 before you dig, because it takes them like 4 days to come out and paint the lines out there. And so we're pulling out the fence posts, and I'm at the stage now. All I have left to do are some of the panels, and someone has loaned me an air or a nail gun with a compressor, so I'm ready to ta ta ta. Every time I think I'm almost done, I spend another 2 weeks out there working on this fence. And so one of the things that I realize, though, is that when you have a fence post, it's not just a big wooden post in the ground. There's actually concrete. There's cement that's mixed with gravel. The concrete is holding that post in the ground, which makes it a lot harder to get out, right? Because you got to dig around that hole, and then you pull the thing out. It's really heavy. You get the wheelbarrow, you take it down to the corner. And then when you put your new fence post in, it's not rotten like my previous ones were. You stick it down in the hole. You got to measure it right, position it right. And then you pour the concrete into the hole around where the fence is. But you got to make sure you get just the right amount. Or if you don't, then after the concrete has dried, after more than a day, even though they said it only takes a day, your fence post moves a little bit. That's bad. Because if your stabilizing force for all of your fence, the horizontal boards and the vertical panels, is not solid and set by the fence post that's structurally sound in the ground, then your fence is not going to last very long. And I'll probably be talking to you in 2 years about, hey, I'm doing my fence over again because I didn't get it right. I had to do more concrete yesterday on a couple that just weren't quite solid. And I was thinking about this fence. What's it do? It was there when we moved in. It's slowly disintegrating over time. It needs to get replaced. But what does it really do? It just prevents me from seeing all my neighbor's junk in his backyard. It doesn't really keep anything out. The cats in the neighborhood can just jump over the fence easily. I mean, I can get over it. We've thrown many of balls over this fence since we have to go and jump and get them. What's it really doing? It's just a little wooden fence. And yet it needs a solid fence post to hold it up. And I was thinking about this. If you really want to build something sturdy that's going to prevent people from getting in or out, you've got to dig down deeper in your foundation. It's got to go deeper, and it's got to go higher. You have to have something to build on that's solid if you're going to build a fence or a wall that's actually going to do something. Because why? Because if someone attacks it or presses up against it, or if there's a storm or a tree or a tidal wave or whatever, you want it to be solidly set foot in the ground. And so the metaphor here is that when we're thinking about our life as a person who's living in a world with the culture swirling as a storm, blowing wind and rain and lightning and people coming over, all the boundaries are coming down, on what is our foundation? Do we have a kind of fence posts in our own spiritual life that are dug down deep in the ground, that have enough concrete around them to help us withstand the culture in which we live? What have you built your life on? What is written on your heart in order for you to face the temptation and the challenge of the world in which we live? Every once in a while, I'll get a rental car if I'm traveling somewhere, and sometimes those cars have a Sirius XM radio, and there's a station, a radio station for every person, multiple stations. They've got like, I don't know, 500 stations, and you just turn the knob, and there's a station for every person, and you can tell a lot about a person, about when they grew up, about what station they like the best, right? Lithium, as a guy of the 90s, honestly, is my station, right? Sorry. But so I'm listening to the station, and then all these songs come on. And I was traveling around one time, and I just remember this song. Most of you probably don't remember this song, but Brooke always likes my music references, right? It goes, you spin me right round, baby, right round, like a record, baby, right round, round, round. Come on, sing it with me. I want your love. And I'm like, how do I know the words to this song? How do I know the words to this song? You know the words to this song. How about, bye, bye. Drove my, but the, that's right, that's right. Here's one, how about this one? Ice, ice, baby. Right? We know these songs. Okay, take me out to the, right. And there's so many things that are deep down in our hearts because we've listened to them so many times and we know them, right? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, right? To be or not to be, that is the question. How's it go? Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing. And no, not too far, too far down, right? I had to memorize that, and we memorized different, the preamble, all these things we memorized, we've written these things on our hearts, and some are good. Pledges and commitments, but like right round, baby, right round, 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 right? What's that in there? But it is. And you've got all those songs like that that are in your hearts too. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to listen to music and to hear these songs, but I am saying what we listen to and what we repeat not only are things that we think about, but they become written on our heart. And my question for you, brother, sister, is the word of God written on your heart? Is scripture, what God has communicated to us, is it written on your heart? And I know that it is, but I know even for me that it can be even more. And so that's why when I thought about meditation, I wanted to have a message on how we can think about memorizing scripture. And this basically is a reminder, a call, a challenge, an invitation for you to take up scripture memory in your life. If you look in the sermon notes, there's a passage, there's a little insert here, Bible memory passage. These are 50 verses of significance. You can memorize any verse in the whole Bible. It's all the word of God. But here are 50 to get you started if you want to consider doing those. I'm going to talk more about how you actually do this in a moment. But why is Bible memory important? Well, we see, first of all, that the characters in the Bible memorized scripture. If you think about the book of Jonah, if you look at Jonah's prayer from chapter 2, you can see that he, in the story, he's been thrown into the sea, he's been scooped up, swallowed up by a giant fish, and there he alludes or references specifically three different psalms. So when Jonah is faced with a difficult situation, where does his mind go? It goes back to the verses of scripture that he's already memorized. It's the word of God that he has memorized that has helped him face the specific and unexpected challenge that he has faced. You see, even in the Old Testament, Jonah has already been memorizing scripture. That just communicates to us how important this was for the people of God all throughout history. That we would not only hear the word, but we would actually know the word. That it would be written on our hearts. Now we know also that Jesus memorized scripture. All throughout his teaching, he was referencing stories of the Old Testament, quoting the Psalms and the prophets. Yes, I know, he had an advantage because he was actually God. But we know from the Bible that says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature before God and men. What does that mean? Jesus had to sit down and memorize the Bible just like you or me. Now, I don't know exactly how it worked. Maybe he had a photographic memory before there were photographs. But he did it. He memorized scripture. because it was part of what their culture did and valued, so that people knew the Word of God. They knew the story of God. They knew their own story. And that story, brothers and sisters, is our story. It's our story. We know that Paul memorized Scripture. Of course, he was a Pharisee, and they had to memorize Scripture. He was a teacher of the law, because he refers, we see he, in his speeches, he's always referring to the Word of God. Many other preachers, such as Peter and Stephen, when they get up to talk, maybe they had notes. I don't know exactly how that worked, but they're speaking about the story of God, his word works in way. They've got it in their heart. You see, memorizing the Word of God is a good defensive strategy for resisting temptation and warding off the attacks of Satan, but it also allows you, in a gentle and loving way, to go on the offensive. If you're wanting to tell someone about the good news of the gospel, if you're wanting to let people know that, hey, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that means every one of us. That's a Bible verse that you can communicate to someone. Every one of us has sinned. You say that for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of life is that of Jesus Christ. You can say not only have we all sinned, but you can also say, here's the good news, brother, sister. Let me tell you about it. Scripture memory can help us to shape how we think about the world, how we think about ourselves, how we think about our neighbors, how we think about everything. I had a seminary professor, and this was really unusual. Whenever anyone would ask him a question, he's one of the most brilliant people I've ever encountered. When someone would ask him a deep theological question or even something simple, most often the first thing out of his mouth, after he paused for a second, would say, well, Scripture says, well, the Bible teaches... And as surprising it may sound, not all seminary professors start with, and Scripture says. In fact, I had some professors that never referenced the Bible. But he would always begin with, this is what the Bible says. And that communicates a number of things, right? Number one, he's thinking in terms of how do I answer questions from students who are preparing to go into the ministry. I want to show them that referring to the Bible or basing my answer on the Bible is really important. We should always look to the Bible to understand how the world exists or how we think through theology, our practices, our whole life, number one. And number two, he had the Bible memorized. Probably not all of it, but a lot of it. And that didn't happen overnight. It was the way he thought. So here are some benefits. I want to give you some benefits of memorization, because I was thinking about this story that I heard, that two brothers were walking in their father's extensive wooded land when they came across a young tree heavy with fruit. And they both enjoyed as much of the delicious fruit as they possibly could. And when they started back, one man gathered all the remaining fruit with him and took it to his home. His brother, however, took the tree itself and planted it in his own yard. And the tree flourished and regularly produced a bountiful crop, so that the second brother often had fruit when the first brother had none. See, the Bible is like this fruit-bearing tree in the story. Merely hearing the word is to be like the first brother. You can gather much fruit from the encounter, and you can even bring it home and feed your life upon it for the next few days. But in the long run, it doesn't compare to having your own tree. Scripture memorization is one way that we can make the tree our own, and we can have a harvest of the word any time we want. Now, many of us look forward to memorizing things like going to the DMV. Sure, there's some value to the visit, but it's mostly painful, and it's something that I would rather not do. I only go when I absolutely have to. And some of us will say, well, you know, I don't have a good memory, but you were singing songs from 50 years ago just a few minutes ago. So I know that you all have an excellent memory to memorize the things that are important to you. Imagine if I said to you, in the next week, I'm going to give you $1,000 for every single Bible verse that you memorize. Instead of having a sermon, we're going to come in and one by one, we're going to go through, and for every Bible verse that you memorize, $1,000. Wow. What if you memorized 100 verses in a week? What's 100 times 1,000, right? 100,000, I think. That's a lot of money, isn't it? But here's the deal. How long would $100,000 last you, really? A year? 5 years? But if you had memorized those verses, how long will those verses last you? They'll stay with you in your heart for a really, really, really long time. See, memorizing verses impacts your life. It affects who you are. It changes you when you have them written on your heart. So here are some benefits. Memorization gives us spiritual power. When the Bible is stored in our heart, it's available for the Holy Spirit to bring to our attention whenever we need it most. That's why the psalmist writes in the passage, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What if you're in a situation where you're being tempted? There's a show on TV that really isn't beneficial or fruitful for your life. You're in a conversation with someone who disagrees with you and you want to lash out at them or respond with sarcasm. What if you're in a conversation with someone at work who's not your spouse and it's beginning to be a little bit flirtatious? Well, if you have Colossians 3, verse 2 memorized, you can say in your heart, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You can say, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he'll provide a way out so that you can endure it. You see, being tempted is not a sin. Jesus was tempted. Giving into temptation is a sin. And the Bible written on our hearts is an offensive weapon that we can have to deal with sin and have spiritual power. Memorization also strengthens our faith. It gives us spiritual power, but it strengthens our faith. Like the concrete that's poured around a fence post, memorization gives you stability. Proverbs 22 says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your mind to knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips. To apply your mind to the words of the wise spoken of here and to keep them within you certainly applies to memorizing Scripture. Notice the reason for giving the Scripture, so that it will be ready on your lips so that you might trust in the Lord. Think about Jonah as he's experiencing this terrible situation. He's been cast into the sea. And what does his mind go to? That which God had written on his heart in the Word of God. When you're facing something challenging, when it feels like the sea is overwhelming you, the problems, the discouragement, the sadness, it feels like you've been swallowed up. Do you have the Word written on your heart? Again, this is something that every Christian, no matter who you are, no matter your educational background, no matter your intellect or your IQ, every Christian can memorize the Word of God. How many of us, this is kind of an old phrase that we don't have any access to anymore, but we play old tapes. Remember that phrase? Those are recordings of things that people have said. Now, no one has tapes anymore, so I don't know what you call that. We have old digital statements that have been made to us. But there are things that someone said to you when you were younger, maybe when you were a child. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was a boss or someone that you dated. Things like, you're never going to amount to anything. You don't have what it takes. Or there are hurtful things that they may be true, but they just are hard to get over. I don't love you anymore. You're fired. We remember these painful statements and they affect us for who we are. And sometimes it's difficult for us to get over them. And sometimes because someone has said these kinds of things to us, we don't want to enter into relationship anymore. We build a wall, a fence around our hearts to protect ourselves because we don't want to be hurt like that anymore. Because of the things that people have said. They make us lose confidence and we're not willing to take good risks. They weigh us down. But what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says that you were made in the image of God, that you have value, that you have dignity, that you're important, that God loves you, that you have significance, that you have something to offer. And when you have the Bible written on your heart, when someone says something to you that hurts, or when you remember something that someone said to you that hurts, you have the Word of God to say, no, that's not true. Because I know what God says about me is true. Remember the choo-choo train last week? Facts, faith, feeling. We let the facts of what God says about us determine our feelings. We let the facts of the word that's written on our heart determine how we're going to live in life. This leads us to another example. Because you see, all these things, these are spiritual disciplines, right? That we're wanting to have for formation. These exercises, they take a little bit of discipline. Nobody memorized the whole Bible on the first turn. It's a challenging thing to do. But like any exercise that we do, if you want to strengthen your arms, or you do curls like this, and what happens is you do the exercise, the muscle breaks down, you eat some protein, eat your vegetables, and the muscles build up, and you get stronger after each and every workout. You get a little bit stronger. Well, every time you attempt to memorize the Word of God, and you put it on your heart, you get a little more faithful. Get more courageous, a little more strong in your journey with the Lord, which is this next one. Memorization stimulates the discipline for the month. Meditation. If I'm memorizing the word, I'm meditating on it all the time. When you memorize on a verse, you can meditate on it anywhere you go, any time of day. When you lay your head down to sleep, the first thing you do in the morning. Psalm 119 also says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." Driving in the car, doing yard work, building a fence, taking the dog for a walk, doing the dishes, making someone's lunch, serving, caring, loving, whatever you're doing, scripture memory allows you to meditate on the Word of God all day. See, the Word is the sword of the Spirit. Or we know that in the armor of God section at the end of Ephesians, the sword of the Spirit. But what do you do if you're in battle and you reach for your sword and there's nothing there? How are you going to face it when something swallows you up in life? If you don't have scripture on your heart, listen, I mean, John 3:16, it's a great verse. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Right? That's a great one. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. Those are great. But if that's all you got, boy, what are you going to do when you face something tempting? That's not going to cut it. And if we want to mature, if we want to grow, if we want to be the people God wants us to be, man, we respond, we can do better. And so here's what I want to encourage you with. Here's what I want to challenge you with. As we think through in the passage this morning, he says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart." Remember, we're doing a renovation of the heart in this whole sermon series. "Let me not wander. I have stored up your word in my heart." See, the passage says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can a senior citizen keep their way pure? How can a middle-aged lady keep her way pure? Well, what does the word pure mean? It means clean or clear, especially as it results or relates to moral character. Those who seek to walk in integrity will do so because of the word. What does the word integrity mean? It means things that are put together purposefully with intention and symmetry. What's the opposite of that? Disintegration. The word builds unity and symmetry and beauty. The world brings disunity, disconnected, those kinds of things. So what do we value? What are we memorizing? More songs? And by the way, let me just ask you, can you name a song from each decade that's been popular, a top 40 song from each decade, 70s, 80s, 90s, last 20 years, that speaks about covenantal marital love in a positive way? Go ahead and name those. Write those down in your notes. Write down a song from each generation, each decade that says, here's a song about men committing in their covenant relationships to their wives that honor. Can you think of one? How about, "Lord, I was born a rambling man, trying to make a living and doing the best I can. But when it comes for leaving, I hope you'll understand. Lord, I was born a rambling man." That means I have no value in commitments to women. I just want to go from town to town to do whatever I want to do. The overwhelming arc of music in our generation is for this message. Do what thou wilt. Do what you want to do, and here are the lyrics to that life. Memorize them, sing them, put your lighter up or hold your cell phone up at the concert and live it, because it's all about you. And we know the soundtrack for all those songs, don't we? But do we know the Word of God? I'm not saying burn your CDs or delete all your files. I'm just saying be conscious of what you listen to. Ride round, baby, ride round, round, round. I get that song out of my head. We got to do another song at the end of the service. Otherwise, you'll all be walking home singing or driving home singing that song. Okay, so here's some practical things that we can do. We're over. I'm over. Sorry. Memorize a verse a month. One verse a month. I gave you 50. That will last you 5 years if you memorize one verse a month, okay? I believe that you can do it. You can get a little spiral notebook, put it on there. Here's the method that I use for scripture memory, is I do one, when I try to do one verse a day, I read it 10 times, I repeat it 10 times after reading it. That's day one. Day two is I redo day one, and then I do the same thing for day two. Read it 10 times, repeat it 10 times. On day three, I do one and two, and then I do two, three, and then I do all the ones I know. So every day I'm doing all the ones I know, and you just memorize, you just repeat it day and day. Have it in your car, have it by your bathroom window, have it on the fridge, have it in front of you, but write it down, because here's the thing, if you aren't committed to doing it, you'll never do it. The best thing that I ever learned about memorizing scripture was saying to the Lord, Lord, I believe you want me to memorize scripture and you want me to know it. I make a vow to you that I'm going to do it. That helped me memorize the book of Colossians, the book of James, the first 15 Psalms. And this year, my commitment was to memorize the whole Gospel of Mark. I stopped. I got stuck 2 weeks ago. I can't do two verses a day. So I'm like, Lord, help me do one verse a day and just repeat them. Because then I'm not listening to music in the car. I'm listening to the Word of God. It's just replaying over and over again. Because here's the thing. If you make the commitment and you falter, don't worry. Just keep doing it. Just keep trying. Just keep saying, Lord, this is valuable to me. Because when we learn more about this, when we get committed to it, it makes a difference. But here's the thing, what's going to motivate us to do this? Not guilt, not like, oh, I want to be like this person or that person. I want to memorize Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:4. None of that. What do? We meditate on the Word. And we know in the Bible that not only is this the Word of God, but that what Jesus is the Word of God. And we think about who Jesus is. When God wanted us to know him, he didn't send us an idea or a theology or a program. He sent us a person. He sent us the Word himself so that we would know him. And as we reflect on him, as we think about what he's done for us, we think about the relationship that we can have with him and for him, we think, I want to have more of him in my life. But here's the challenge. You see that, have you ever seen a dried out riverbed? It's real cracked and it's got like gaps and little caverns in it. Sometimes our hearts have been so hardened by the world and by the patterns and rhythms of daily life that even when the water comes rushing across in a dried riverbed, the water doesn't sink down deep because the sand and the dirt have gotten so hardened. We've been so hurt. We've been so distant from God. But God says, meditate on who I am. Let me give you living water. Let me give you life. Let me close with this. So we have this dog, Charlie, right? He's a puppy and he's a barrel of laughs. Let me tell you, we're having a great time with him. And I love Charlie. We have this water bowl in the house and we have a water bowl outside the house. And a lot of times, Charlie, when we take him for a walk or we let him out, he'll walk right past the bowl of water, crisp, clean, delicious water from the Memphis aquifer, which is some of the best water in the world. And he'll walk right over to a puddle and just start licking up the muddy puddle. Like, Charlie, drink the good water. Now, there's water in the puddle. And it's, in one sense, good for hydration. It has some value, but it also has mud. It could have bacteria. It could have other microorganisms in it that make him sick. Now, it does serve a purpose of hydration in one sense. But when he's got this beautiful bowl of crisp, clean water, why doesn't he drink it? Well, he doesn't know any better. So when we have things to meditate on and to marinate on and to memorize, why do we go down to the puddle and lap it up like it's the only thing? When Jesus has given himself and his word to us, so that we might have his word written on our hearts. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandprez.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.